All right, Jeffrey Jackson, tell us, what's the truth about vaccines?
Well, as a journalist, I take a different aspect as a medical health journalist. I have looked at vaccines from the medical standpoint, the health standpoint, but I also interview parents and I interview whistleblowers that reach out to me. Okay. So I have a unique perspective of this, because the whistleblowers that reach out, many of them don't want to go public because their career is going to be destroyed. And that's, I'm sure you've talked to many people already that have given you examples of that. So when it comes to the truth about vaccines, I think we're looking obviously at an epidemic of vaccine injury that's not stopping anytime soon. And we have behind that pharmaceutical companies that have endless amounts of money to make this push happen, and they're doing it rapidly. Mm-hmm. And our time is short.
So the money is driving the decisions then of the vaccine manufacturers?
The money control, I think it's all wrapped up into one kind of, it all goes into one funnel, and what comes out at the other end is the vaccine. So the vaccines are, at one level it's the money, at the other level it's control, at the other level it's to keep people continuously sick and on a cycle of cradle-to-grave vaccinations and keep them in a healthcare system that doesn't care to get them healthy. Mm.
It's an oxymoron, isn't it?
That's right. The healthcare system. Always has been for a long time.
Yeah. Are you familiar with stories of parents with vaccine-injured children that they know it was from the vaccine?
Yeah. And I think we're at an interesting point, too, because for the first time, we can decentralize this information. So before it was isolated people that thought they were isolated, and now with YouTube and with live streaming, we don't have to wait for a journalist to tell their story and spin it, and we don't have to wait for a doctor to tell them it wasn't the vaccine. You can go back and take care of your injured child for the rest of your life. Mm. We have people putting cameras in their face. You know, it's very, very similar to the Vietnam War. When people first went off to the Vietnam War, America thought it was a grand thing and a very honorable thing. And when the news actually was doing its job, the reporters, and they started showing the kids in the body bags coming home, that's when everyone hit the streets, and that's when arguably the people ended the war. Mm.
So we're at Autism One in Chicago right now. Tell me some of the most interesting aha moments you might have seen this week, or some of the most interesting discussions that you've witnessed, because I know you've been interviewing people yourself as a reporter.
Well, I have to say that's a two-point answer. The first thing is I've been covering globally the HPV vaccine. Okay. And the interesting aspect of the HPV vaccine is with children and infants that are injured, the infant or the child can't talk and tell people, I felt great until I had my vaccine. The daughters are doing that because they were 12 and 13 and they said that I was fine and then I collapsed after the vaccine. So not only do you have the parents and the medical records and the doctors saying it was the vaccine, but you actually have the vaccine injured coming forward and telling their stories. So this is a story that's repeating, unfortunately, globally, Colombia, France, Italy, Greece, Denmark, Japan, on and on and on. It's the same story, and each culture is handling that story differently, but every one of them is pushing back. But each one's pushing back a little, it's a little different flavor in each culture, and that has to do, I believe, with the lineage and the DNA memory of that culture's revolting spirit. And I have to say, in Ireland, they're kicking some major butt. And when I talk to each of these families, sometimes through Google Translate, translating their words, I talk to the Irish mothers, and there's a lot of profanity that comes out of their mouth. They're fiery, and they've actually gotten the mainstream media to cover it and keep it in they're keeping it bouncing on the mainstream media's radar. They won't let it go, and it's a harder pushback. So it's fascinating to see that. So I do see that, and the second thing I'm seeing is, as a journalist, I usually stay in the background a little bit, and people that are seeing me here are coming up to me and telling me things. And I've had a thought for a very long time, and in Compton, Sheila Ely was the first person to start talking about this that I've seen. And what she said was this idea of medical civil disobedience in America, and this is where we're at right now. And I believe this is the answer. And as a journalist, I've researched the civil rights movement. I've researched the fall of the Soviet Union intimately and how it happened. And for the first time in history, we're going to witness, we are witnessing now, but we're going to witness it very rapidly in mainstream media, medical civil disobedience on a wide scale.
Okay, so compare, explain exactly what do you mean by medical civil disobedience, and how does that apply, or how would that be related to the civil rights movement?
Okay, so civil disobedience by nature is to oppose a morally unjust law or a government or a vaccine mandate. So civil rights movement was bubbling underneath the surface for a very, very long time, a very long time. And around the time of, you had Malcolm X, you had Martin Luther King, you had the Vietnam War, you had all these things coming together, and that's when it hit the streets. That's when it, Million Man March. So I'm seeing those same factors happening right now against pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine push. And what I'm hearing from doctors, they're telling me about their medical civil disobedience without labeling it that, because that word, civil disobedience, has been lost from our vocabulary. People forgot that spirit. And so, for example, a pediatrician came up to me and said, you know, off the record, now it's on record, but no, I'm not going to say his name, we have more oranges in our office that have shots in them than we have children. And I have many nurses saying, we have an entire ward of nurses that all get together and we have our head physician sign off that we all had the flu shot. And what I'm seeing there is a parallel. That's the American Constitution. That's a bunch of people getting together, knowing what they're up against, and saying, instead of going up against this singly, we're all going to sign a piece of paper and hang together if this goes down. So,
I love that. I mean, I love that. That's awesome.
Beautiful. It's beautiful
that they're doing that. And I mean, it's a shame that they have to do it.
Right.
But it's awesome that they're doing that. They're saying, we're not going to comply.
Yeah. When one of I talked to a woman from the Soviet Union, and she cautioned me to be careful with this word, civil disobedience, because she said when she was there for the fall of the Soviet Union, many people in the Soviet Union knew that the government was corrupt, knew it was going to fall, but no one knew when. So they had people standing up, and the next day, those people were gone to the camps. And who replaced them were people that would toe the party line. So she warned, and I also want to get this out every time I speak about this, doctors and nurses understand that if you stand up, there's a possibility that you're going to lose your job and livelihood, and perhaps even more. And what's going to be replacing that is someone that's going to toe the line of the system and force vaccines when these mandates come through and these laws come through. So when I say civil disobedience and medical disobedience, I'm saying we work within the system to internally continue to sabotage this until the time is right and there's critical mass. And with the open sourcing of information journalism, this critical mass is coming very quickly. So I don't know what it is going to be, and I don't know what it'll look like, but I can see it coming, and I can feel it coming.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. It is coming.
Yeah.
It is coming. You mentioned just before we went on the air here, or before we began recording here, mm-hmm. that you've seen a lot of synergy happening here. Talk about what you meant by that.
There's a lot of people now that are researchers, doctors, medical cannabis growers. The list goes on, and vaccine injury, and I'll add autism to that, I'll add neurological disorders to that, is bringing together all of these areas to solve this and to come together, where before these were segregated. So again, it's also, vaccine injury is also bringing together cultures and countries, and sadly, it may be, looking back in history, years from now, it may be vaccine injury that was the one thing that united the world across cultures and across races.
Mm. Wow, that's pretty powerful.
And that's what I'm seeing here at Autism One. I'm seeing people that would never talk to each other, biochemists talking to mothers, cannabis growers talking to lawmakers, talking to whistleblowers, talking to journalists.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen that too. This one, it's pretty amazing.
It's happening so fast, and I that's why I want to get these words out of it's time to oppose this system, because it's happening fast on the other side too. So at the same time this awakening is happening, laws are being passed for mandatory vaccination to force this, and those are only going to make this awakening happening quicker. And I spoke to a woman who was concerned, and this was a great point, about the money pharmaceutical companies have to oppose this and to have the PR and to have this. And when it comes to awakenings and when it comes to movements, money doesn't matter, because we unfortunately have a critical mass. We've had 20 years of epidemic autism, 20 years at least of vaccine injury. We have a critical mass of millions and millions of injured people, and injured parents and children with vaccine injury will never give up. So every child that has a vaccine injury is creating a warrior in the child and a soldier in the mother. Mm. And these soldiers will fight to the death. And they're lining up continuously, row after row. And what's in front of them is a paper tiger with some money behind it of a corporation that's a transparent entity, and it can't last against that.
Yeah, and I've seen some mad moms.
Yeah.
You don't want to make a mother mad.
No.
Especially when you injure her child.
They'll never back down.
No, they won't. I mean, I've seen them. There's a lot of groups that are here that are that are mothers together. They've got vaccinated children.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to go up against them.
No. We have a medical system that was based on integrity and based on healing, and they've lost the moral high ground.
Yeah.
And we have been giving our power away to them for so long, and now we're taking it back through education and through this various forms of medical civil disobedience, which is education as well. I am disobeying a system of mainstream medicine when I teach my mother how to heal herself, how to heal her gut problems, how to heal, point people in the right direction if they've been vaccine injured. It's a group effort, collaborative effort. We have the lawmakers changing. We have mothers. We have doctors flipping the entire script on their vaccine programs in their offices.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about the doctors that are in California? They've been mandated to vaccinate children, right?
Yes.
So what do you see? How is that going to impact other states, or how do we make that the only state that ever does that?
I would say California caught everyone sleeping, and they're not asleep anymore. And I think moving forward, I was one of the first people that broke the story with Richard Pan and his lobbyists. And I would say that we are so much more aware now, and running the run-up to that, SB 277 was perhaps the most important thing that ever happened to the vaccine injury movement and the opposition against pharmaceutical control, because it made it real for families now. And until that point, it was just a journalist writing about it. It was scrolled off a web page. It was a social media post. But now it's coming to their doorstep. And now they have to activate.
Yeah.
And when people are forced out of comfort zones, especially when their kids are on the chopping block, they're going to activate. And it goes back to, this is a movement, and we are going to see mass amounts of civil disobedience. Now, what's that going to look like? Throughout history, the civil disobedience took the form it needed to take. There's never boundaries around it. It takes the form it needs to take. So in California, it may be people taking all their kids out of school. It may be, I did some searches on some Google documents from early 1900s newspapers, and I came across a newspaper of 1912, New York. There's a school in Olean, New York, and 2,000 kids in that school, they passed mandatory vaccination. 1,700 kids didn't show up the next day.
Really? And what year was this?
1912. So this is a reoccurring thing that our culture has dealt with, is mandatory vaccinations and the forcing of medicine. I know in The Quest for the Cure, the global quest, you spoke of a doctor that was reversing cancer in his small town, and they arrested him, and the entire townspeople surrounded the jail and made them release this man. I believe we're going to see this. I believe we're going to see doctors and even senators that perhaps are pushing this. They're going to be shunned in public. They may walk into a gas station, and the gas station will say, we're closed, even though they're pumping gas. And then they'll go try to get a coffee and say, we're not serving coffee today for you. Mm. And their lives will be difficult. And I think that's maybe what it might come to. I'm not sure. Like I said, you can never tell how these things go because they have a life of their own. But back to SB 277, parents will act. Parents will not lie down with this. And if the parents don't push back hard enough, the schools will act. The nurses will not follow orders. The teachers won't follow orders. The doctors won't follow orders. They will gum up the system.
Good. I agree.
Yeah.
I think that they did catch us sleeping with SB 277. You mentioned, though, Senator Pan, who is also, isn't he also a doctor?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So he's a pediatrician. He's a senator, California. He was responsible in large part for getting SB 277 passed. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned lobbyists, and talk about that, because I know a lot of people that are watching may not understand what you meant.
So being an independent journalist, and I like to say an open source journalist, because this is the time we're in of open sourcing information, I take information from anywhere it comes from, I vet it, of course, and it came for me through mothers that were at the hearing, live streaming on their phones and live streaming the room. And there was a point where Pan had to make a choice to vote on that day during a stage of SB 277's bill or defer the bill for a week. And that happened to be the day that thousands of mothers were protesting outside. I think nearly 1,000 of them testified on the microphone, and they were all there. And you could feel, so the parents told me, there was an energy in there that it was anti-vaccine, if you want to say that, or anti-pharmaceutical company. So Sacramento Senator Pan, who was one of the authors of SB 277, he was asked to either vote on the bill that day or defer the bill. And with an entire community of parents standing room only, instead of turning to them and asking, instead of turning to the people that got him in office, he looked over to two people, and they came over and whispered in his ear. And those people were lobbyists. Those people were pharmaceutical lobbyists. So what that statement was, and a mother gave me a still shot of that, him listening to that, and we identified the people who these people were, made sure they were pharmaceutical lobbyists. And what that said, the statement that said was, this man will take orders from here when his whole community is begging him not to change that, to pass that law. Mm. And that's where we're at, and that's why I say, keep doing the political process. People with these minds, keep pushing on the political front, but we have to, it's a multi-pronged approach, and it's going to take a little disobedience here and there behind the system to make this thing fall.
Yeah. So what happened? Did he defer the vote?
Yeah. So
to a day when there wasn't anybody there.
That's exactly what happened, yeah. He deferred the vote, and the rest is history. I believe SB 277 was pushed through because when the CDC whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson, came forward, shortly after that was the measles outbreak in Disneyland. And after the measles outbreak, that was the motivation for this law to come through. They wrote it on back of the measles, and there was only 300 cases, and I believe there's no deaths. So I believe we're seeing a vaccine industry that had an agenda, a pharmaceutical company that had a long-term agenda that was forced to launch that agenda faster than they should. They wanted to, because they didn't see Dr. William Thompson coming. So we have the moral high ground. We've had it for very long, but we also have the momentum because they didn't see it coming, and we got a jump start on the propaganda piece.
Mm. Kind of threw him for a loop there.
Yeah.
The Thompson spilling the beans on the CDC.
Sure did.
Yeah. I speculate that that's what happened as well, especially with the outbreak of the measles, that there was no deaths.
Yeah.
And it just happened to happen. It just happened to occur right after the CDC whistleblower story broke.
Right.
And then all of a sudden we get this forced vaccine bill in California. So it's like, that's not coincidence.
No. And the other thing I noticed as a journalist is the journalism has become abusive. So it has become blatantly abusive towards parents, towards vaccine-injured children, towards an autism community that's been abused since day one by the medical community, by not believing the parents, by blaming the parents.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, I would agree with you. We just interviewed a journalist from Colombia, Mario Lamo.
Yes.
Right? And he told the story that the 700 girls in that one little town that got adverse reactions from the Gardasil vaccine.
Yeah.
They told him that you're nuts. It's psychosomatic. You're not hurt.
Yeah.
You're making stuff up. You're hysterical. They blame the victim. It's almost like a rape case.
They're engaging the same technique a sociopath uses, and it's called gaslighting. So when a sociopath will do something abusive to a victim, and the victim tries to recall it afterwards to blame them, they say, that never happened. You're making that up. And that's a term called gaslighting. And journalism is now, mainstream journalism is now gaslighting vulnerable populations, and this is very dangerous.
Yeah.
So, because we have an epidemic, millions and millions and millions. I mean, 1 in 66, 1 in 48. Do the math on that every year. This is hundreds of millions of kids.
Yeah, and they're real kids. They're not statistics.
No.
You know, and even if vaccines were safe and effective, which they're not, but even if they were, let's say they're safe in 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's say your kid's that 1%.
Right.
That's not good enough.
That's right.
It's not good enough for you because you're the one dealing with the injured kid forever, for the rest of his life or her life.
Yep. There has to be a choice if there's a risk. And
yeah.
The other thing I'm seeing happening is mainstream medicine research, medical research, is now coming forward. And they're speaking out.
Yeah.
And they have to.
Is it a choice? Is it a true choice that you can evaluate the risk if you do not have informed consent?
No, not at all.
What's informed consent?
It never has been. Informed consent is basically getting all the information for a medical procedure, the good, the bad, the ugly, before you engage in that medical procedure. And a vaccine is a medical procedure. And vaccinations do not go through the same testing as pharmaceutical drugs. So this is even more dangerous because the testing has been kind of sidestepped. So we know how bad pharmaceutical drugs are, but vaccines, there's a big question mark, and all we have to look at right now is society, and society is giving us some really scary answers mm-hmm. about the damage a vaccine can cause.
Yeah, and I've seen it here at Autism One. I mean, I've seen some of the kids. We did interview a precious little girl yesterday named Lene in a wheelchair, just as smart as a smart girl. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make an acronym there, but or make an example there, but she's a brilliant little girl, okay? But she is vaccine injured, and she has chronic fatigue. Mm-hmm. She can't walk more than a few steps. She walked from her wheelchair out to the sofa.
Right.
But she's completely unable to participate in activities mm-hmm. little girls her age typically participate in because of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And she's one of the fortunate ones. She's got it all together mentally. Just a brilliant little girl.
Right. Right.
But some of the vaccine injured kids, they're abusing themselves, they're banging their heads on walls, and it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it neutralizes the family, because the people that I've talked to are typically bankrupt because the treatments that work aren't covered by insurance. And when they turn 18, a lot of people don't know this, but I've been talking to parents. When they turn 18, parents have to spend thousands legally to get custody of their child. Mm. And this is no medical system that I want to live under.
Yeah. So last question, Mr. Jackson, what's your message for people that are watching? What's the takeaway that you want people to know?
Well, there's a quote by Howard Zinn, and this was during the Vietnam War, with this spirit. And he said, "We don't have to engage in acts, grand heroic acts, to participate in this change. Small acts, when multiplied by millions, can change the world." So I think everyone can disobey in their own way and know that we're all going towards the same goal. And this has united us, unfortunately and fortunately. An overreaching pharmaceutical industry has united us. And we're going to take back the medical system one way or the other.
I love it. Awesome, man. Great ending.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man.